Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you two have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, that the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was how the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, my dears, as the New Zealand prayer book says, what has been done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. No do-overs, no second chances next week, no rehearsing the things done and left undone. When I leave church today, it will be for 4 months. And I hope I have given you the information, the love, and the support that you need to make these next 4 months a great sabbatical delight. Well, I would never ever compare myself with Jesus, I do have a newfound understanding of what he may have felt like as he handed over the work he had begun to his followers. The work of getting ready to take leave is very particular and not merely a tidy wrap-up of the stuff we do each day or week or month. Like Jesus, I have a strong desire to share lots of information, to give you everything you will need so my absence doesn't cause hardship. Don't misunderstand me. I know you are the church, and that you did very well before I got here and will do just fine when I leave. I have all the confidence in the world about that. I do. And still, I want my time away to be a gift for you. My hope is that in your sabbatical time, you will have an increased sense of connection, belonging, and purpose as you take the reins of the church, absent your rector, for the next 4 months. I think that's what Jesus wanted for his disciples, connection, belonging, and purpose. And I think that is much of what today's gospel story is about. While you might not realize it at first hearing, this is a call story, and it harkens back to the way Jesus first called the disciples. Fishermen fishing, the reference to Galilee, gathering everyone together, the words, follow me. Only this time, Jesus is risen. He's preparing to ascend to the Father, and the meaning of discipleship is shifting as the disciples are no longer being called to follow Jesus around in the world. The way the disciples will follow Jesus now is to be his presence in the world. Discipleship looks different on the other side of resurrection. I've been wondering what Peter was thinking when he decided to go fishing that night. He and the other disciples had all seen the risen Christ. Jesus had breathed the Holy Spirit on them and sent them out into the world with power, with his power, to bind and to loose and to forgive the sins of God's people. But Peter decided to go fishing instead. I think I understand that. Their world had turned upside down when Jesus died, and turned upside down every time he reappeared, too. We might think there would be unspeakable joy at seeing the risen Christ, but that isn't necessarily the disciples' response. Today, their response is to go fishing. In the midst of fear and heartache and confusion, especially for Peter, it's probably best just to try to get back to normal, right? But nothing was normal. And after a brutal night of fishing for nothing, they were about to give up. But then a stranger showed up on the beach at dawn. Dawn is the hour of resurrection, you know. And the stranger said, "Why don't you try something different? Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And so they did. When the beloved disciple John saw the net full of fish, he knew the stranger was Jesus, and he said so to Peter. And Peter, being Peter, totally forgot about the 153 fish, jumped in the water, and headed straight for Jesus, who was cooking breakfast over a charcoal fire. Peter's impulsiveness only got him soaking wet this time. But his impulsiveness had gotten him into a very bad place not long ago. It was the last time he'd been standing around a charcoal fire, warming himself in the high priest's courtyard. The guard asked him if he was one of Jesus' disciples. "I am not," he said. Someone else asked him again, and again he said, "I am not." And then someone who had actually seen him in the garden with Jesus said so, and Peter once again denied even knowing Jesus. that shameful night he'd been huddled around a charcoal fire might well have come rushing back to him as he ran toward Jesus and the smell of his charcoal fire. I can only imagine the pit in his stomach as he remembered his promise to die with Jesus before he would ever deny him, and the three denials that followed. It's all so complicated. Jesus dead, Jesus risen. Shock and grief and the end of everything that mattered, then the risen Christ cooking you breakfast. Fear, guilt, shame, and trying to forget it all by going back to anything that brings comfort, like fishing. But Peter can't avoid his shame any more than we can. Shame demands our attention. It turns us against ourselves and ultimately turns us against other people as we begin to shame others in an effort to assuage our own guilt. Shame isn't something we can fix. It is only something to be loved back into kindness and self-compassion. And that's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus always does. He didn't pretend Peter hadn't denied him. He didn't pretend the denials didn't matter. He didn't forgive and forget. And he didn't avoid the issue. Quite the contrary. Jesus knew Peter's guilt and shame were festering inside him. So Jesus took Peter right back to the heart of his shame by asking him a question right next to a charcoal fire three times over. But the question Jesus asked was a question that builds up rather than tears down, a question that brought Peter back into the fold and gave him new life and purpose. In this simple question, asked three times, there is healing, reconciliation, and deep and abiding love. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, you know I do. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, you know I do. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You know everything, Lord, so you know I love you. Three denials and three opportunities to acknowledge the wrong he had done, not for the purpose of shaming, but for the opportunity to take in the reality that Jesus really does know what's in our hearts. We say it every Sunday. Almighty God, to you our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. And what Jesus knew of Peter's heart was that Peter did love him. That's what allowed Peter to be reconciled with Jesus. Even though Peter had denied knowing Jesus and denied him three times, he did love Jesus. And by asking his question, Jesus was telling Peter he knew that. And that allowed Peter to belong to Jesus and his kingdom once again. Belonging is so powerful, isn't it? I'm guessing most of us can think of a time when we didn't fit in, couldn't find our place, felt alone or uncertain. Our sense of belonging has a great deal to do with our identities. That may seem backwards in a culture that says if we're worth anything at all, it's because we've made ourselves into something worthwhile. Being self-made in our culture is highly esteemed. But where we truly find our identities is in relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. Our identity is much comprised of what people reflect back to us about who we are. That's one of the reasons it's so hard to lose someone we love. We don't only lose them, we lose the part of ourselves that person saw and loved and reflected back to us. When Jesus offered Peter three opportunities to proclaim his love and his faith, he was bringing Peter back into the community he had relinquished when he denied Jesus. Reconciliation and belonging were not the only things happening in that conversation. Along with welcoming Peter back into the community, Jesus gave Peter, the rock on whom he would build his church, he gave Peter back his job and gave him renewed purpose. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is about to ascend to the Father, and before leaving, he commissions Peter to care for his sheep, as Jesus had done throughout his ministry. Listen, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Peter has gone from fisherman to disciple to fisherman and back to disciple. But this time, his discipleship is different. It is informed by the resurrection, yes. But it is also informed by his own life experience. The scorching shame and humiliation of denying Jesus, and in the face of that, the unspeakable grace of being known and seen and loved. Both of those things contributed to his renewed discipleship, and both contributed to his fuller sense of himself and his place in God's mission. Belonging and purpose. They are as important for us as they were for the ones who were trying to bring the new way of life in Jesus Christ into the world. In our baptisms, we were brought into that new life and became part of the body of Christ. A body that would not be complete without every single one of us. In our baptisms, we are called into God's mission of reconciliation, called to love God's beloved, broken, and beautiful world back into wholeness. As it turns out, there really are second chances. Maybe not do-overs, but second chances, and third chances, and 73rd chances, too. That is the grace and mercy of God. And we are called to embody that grace and mercy for God's people and creation through compassion, kindness, forgiveness, and a faith that believes God's love is for everyone and that it's our job to make that plain. Amen.